This is the time where we have a remembrance of the passing of our members since the last convention, and so that people could come up and inform us, tell us of the passing of one of our members. And I'm going to take the liberty of mentioning one of our longtime members who passed on February 28th, Tom Carnes, in Oceanside. I got to know Tom when he was living in San Francisco in the 80s, when I was working on detectable warnings and transit issues. Tom reached out to me and said, we needed to get this in Muni. And that started a working relationship. Tom was an incredible advocate for access and a lot of other issues. He was also a mentor to a lot of people who were in the process of losing their vision. And Tom was a resource that I could tap over the years, and he brought us some interesting speakers. He brought a scientist from UC San Diego, one of our conventions, to talk that this researcher was doing blindness research on where some of us who've lost our vision still sometimes sense we're still seeing. And this was a researcher that rarely ever did any presentations outside of conferences for professional scientists in his field, and Tom got him to agree to come and talk to us. So there may be some people from San Francisco who might want to speak about Tom, but it's a great loss. Thank you. Who would like to be the first person? I think I hear Mitch Pomerantz. Well, we'll give Mitch, and then people raise their hand, and you guys take a look.
Not on. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we lost a gentleman in the past couple of months who I'd known since the first day I joined, or one of the first days I joined CCB. We lost Richard Harmon. Richard was a true pioneer. When Systems Development Corporation decided that blind people could become programmers, Richard was in the first class. Richard worked for Southern California Edison and for LA County, and I forgot the other organization or employer he worked for, but yeah, Beacons. Richard and Ellie Mae were leaders, not in the sense of running for office, but in the sense of living what it means to be a member of the California and the American Council of the Blind. Richard and I could talk sports. We could talk a lot of things. I remember during the Rodney King upheaval of 92, Richard and Ellie Mae lived on 12th Avenue in South LA, and I was scared to death because they were right in the middle of it. And I called them, and I said, are you guys okay? And they were. They were strong and they were survivors. And Richard will be truly missed. Thanks, Gene.
Thank you. My name is Pete Romero. I would like to announce the passing of a dear friend and former coworker. She was a member of the Berkeley chapter, I believe, many years ago. March 18th, we lost Linda Amate. She was really a helpful person. Whenever she'd see you at the conventions, she was more than willing to lend a helping hand. If I looked lost, which is probably I was, she was always there to lend a helping hand. So I just wanted to make sure that we remembered her today. Thank you.
The guys are getting around. Welty.
Frank Welty?
No. There's one mic. There are two. Well, we should have one mic going around right now.
Frank Welty? When a tree falls in the forest, do people notice? And the answer is, if it's a really big tree, you do. About a week ago, one of the great oaks in the forest of CCB fell. That was Winifred Downing. It didn't come as a complete surprise to us because she was experiencing the wear and tear of age, the result of a life well lived. Winifred Downing was an inspiration to many of us. She was a leader for many years in this organization, in the San Francisco chapter, and in CCB and ACB. She was a teacher. She was a mother, a grandmother, with a loving family. She was a person of faith. She was a strong advocate, particularly for Braille. Anybody who talked to her in the last 10 years knew how strong she would advocate for Braille as she saw it. She inspired many of us, as I have just said. We're going to miss her, and we're going to celebrate her memory. Let's celebrate the memory of Winifred Downing.
Is the mic gone to anyone else?
Hello, everyone. Eric Calhoun here. I would like to say a few things. I was surprised to hear upon the death of Winifred Downing myself. I would like for all of us to please take a moment. If you're in CCB, to really, really focus on the memory of Winifred Downing. This was a lady who not only contributed to CCB and ACB, but she was on a magazine that I used to subscribe to that I am thinking about getting a lifetime membership. Many of you have heard this beautiful magazine called the Newsreel Magazine. And many of you have heard her contributions of sometimes articles and other things. She also did some stuff for the Blind Californian. And you all pretty much know what she did. Personally, I did talk to her maybe once or twice at a convention, and she always had some encouragement. So this is very, very hard on me right now, but I would like to take this time to say thank you, Wynn. I love you, sweetie. I love you.
Yes, this is Charlene Ornelas. I would like to mention the name of Bob Greenwall. He was a member of the San Diego Braille Club. He died recently, but up until the point he was too sick to get out and join us, he was very active in the chapter, and his daughter helped us out with a lot of issues that we had, and we unfortunately lost him recently.
Mike, getting to Margie or anyone else?
Thank you. Couple of things. Winifred, what can I say? I met her for the first time when I joined the blindness movement in 1974. Surprisingly enough, Winifred and Richard Harmon, I met the same year. Richard and I were in an Opticon training class together in Palo Alto. That's where we first met. And surprisingly enough, Winifred ended up teaching Opticon training through Hadley. And so these two people will never be forgotten. I was always so amazed, especially Winifred, because I knew her since I was in the same Golden Gate chapter with her way back then of the old NFBC. I was amazed at how she did things, taking care of the kids, homemaker. You couldn't ask for any cleaner place. And the ideas of how she handled all of her, you know, not only daily living, that's nothing. A lot of people can do that, but making curtains and drapes and doing all the regular chores that a lot of folks would be so amazed at. And for Winifred, it was just part of her everyday life. And, you know, the best part was I never saw any anger between her and her kids or her kids and her. What a close-knit, wonderful, loving family. It was great. And I will never forget Winifred and being on resolutions with her and all kinds of things. Tom Carnes, I used to do a program on broadcast services for the blind in 1982. That's when I first met Tom. And he was one of my listeners. We used to have a phone-in show, and he would call every week. And he even started a Wednesday night cruise with a guy named Captain Ketch. I still remember that. And we would go over to Angel Island on Wednesday nights in his yacht, and a sail yacht. And he would let us all take turns piloting the thing. Of course, he was right there with us. He didn't trust us that much, the captain. But Tom is the one who arranged all that and really loved getting outdoor activities together and kept a lot of us together as just for a lot of social things, as well as all the serious advocacy work that he did for all of his life. We'll miss these folks tremendously, and I can just say peace to all of them.
Hi there. Oh, that's a little loud. Something that hasn't been mentioned about Tom Carnes that I think is extremely important is he was a disabled veteran. And I'm proud to have served him at the San Francisco VA until he moved down here. It was a great transition in our lives. We knew each other when I was a kid, then I ended up getting to serve him, and it was my honor. I also want to talk about Winifred. Winifred was an incredible supporter of teachers of the visually impaired. Winifred was a wonderful role model for those of us that are blind. I remember when my son was young calling her, and she gave me everything I needed to know, even telling me my son was in critical condition. He is losing too much weight as an infant. And she was right. If it weren't for Wynn, my son may not be here today. So thank you, Wynn.
I have to say something about Wynn. In 1995, when I became CCB president, Maria Lopez stepped down as the editor of the BC. Now, Wynn and I knew each other pretty well prior to that time. In fact, when I announced that I was going to run for president, she calls me up. I'm on the way home from work, and Wynn calls me up, and we're chatting. She said, "Are you really sure you can do this? You don't suffer fools gladly." And I said, "Well, I guess the fools will just have to get used to me." When I asked Wynn to become editor of the BC, she said, "Oh, no. I don't know anything about technology. I can't do that." I think it took two or three phone conversations for me to convince her to do it. And one thing that Wynn and I had in common, we were sticklers for editing. I still have folks, I'm sure, who worked for me years ago who are so thankful that they promoted or moved on, because I spent a lot of time editing bad writing, and Wynn never tolerated grammatical or spelling errors or poor sentence structure, anything. The BC, with all due respect to past and current editors of the BC, Wynn was the best we ever had. She'll be missed.
Is there anyone else?
Yep. Hi, Jean. This is Leslie. Tom, I have to tell you a real quick story that just cracked me up about Wynn. We were roommates at a convention in Knoxville, Tennessee, many a year ago, and she was just like, I just don't know what to do. It's so confusing here, and I was just like, okay, and I kept laughing because she just cracked me up. So on the way back, we were flying back to San Francisco together, and she said to me, I hate this with a purple passion, and I'm going to these conventions, it just, oh my God, the please and thank yous and excuse me and everything. And I just was dying laughing so hard. And she kept patting me on the shoulder and pushing me back in the seat, going, now take it easy, take a breath, take a breath. And I could not stop laughing because she had such an expression, and I'm like, a purple passion. Wow, you know, that's really describing it. You know, yeah, she was not one for swearing. That was her. That was her way, you know. And she was just such a special person. I miss her.
That's it?
Hi.
Hi,
this is Linda Johnson, and I just want to, Tom Carnes actually was he was a mentor for me. I started the California Retinitis Pigmentosa Support Group in 1988, and I had no idea what I was doing with the group, but I just said I wanted to do this, and he really helped me to understand Robert's Rules of Order and all the different things that would go with a nonprofit, because the RP support group then became a nonprofit corporation. So, and I had enough eyesight at the time. I'd go over to his house and help sort through his resources, and so that I could understand what was out there and available. But he kind of helped guide me through, you know, getting different guest speakers and kind of understanding this whole vision loss piece. So he was a great guy. We have a cabin in Santa Cruz, and it was built by my great-grandfather in 1906. And he and Helen came over, and all I can remember is Helen hugging all the redwood trees. But, you know, he had his ways, and he was just an interesting person to know, and I really appreciate how he guided me.
Hi, it's Linda Porrell. I met Winifred rather late in her life. I moved to San Francisco in 2005, and I decided to go to the San Francisco chapter over the Golden Gate because I had read Wynn's name in the Braille form. I was a member of Bay State Council before I moved. So I thought, what a beautiful name, Winifred Downing. What kind of a person is she, I wonder? So I went to the chapter and was warmly welcomed by her immediately and quickly recruited for the what she started, something called the Good Neighbor Fund, which eventually evolved into the grant we have now, the Student Education Access Grant. So she got me on that committee. A year and a half later, she got me elected president of the chapter. She took me to CCB, got me on the nominations committee, the resolutions committee. And then when I ran for the board, she was the only person that night to speak for me and help to get me elected. So I feel truly mentored by her where CCB is concerned. On a personal level, Winifred was a staunch liberal Catholic in the very best sense of the word. She would say a naughty thing now and again. One of my favorite things that she'd say was, and my apologies to people with a different moral sensibility, she said, "That Bill Clinton, I don't care how many women he slept with, he's still a good president." Another funny Wynn story was that she was so devoted for Braille, and she got it into her head that UEB was entirely, should responsibility for it, should be entirely laid at the feet of Joe Sullivan at Duxbury. She thought he was the devil incarnate. She was just so wonderful. One of my favorite afternoons with her at her lovely home was when I brought my best friend from Boston to meet her, Kate Crohan, who's very active in the teachers affiliate of ACB. So they talked teaching, they talked cooking, they talked knitting, they talked church. And both of them forever and ever thanked me for putting them together. And it was such a delight to watch them interacting. And I will, with Frank and some others, be attending the funeral mass on Monday morning. And the family has hired a bus to transport many of us from the church to the site of the reception. That's how much they care about our community. So I love you so much, Winifred. Rest in peace.
Okay, this is Robert Wendt. One of my first experiences on the Resolutions Committee was sitting with Winifred, and she was going through every single letter almost. but it taught me a lot about paying attention to what was going on in the room. And a couple years later, Resolutions, it was about 2 in the morning, had been the second night of who knows what hours, and Winifred was still there. And I'm sitting there thinking, I want to go back to my room, but I'm not going to let this woman leave after me. But it taught me a lot about just that level of commitment, and I think it made me a better member on that committee.
All right, this is Gabe Griffith, and I've got to talk about when I first got involved in Resolutions. She, as so many others have said, was such a stickler for where the commas go and the phrasing, and just she taught me so much, and as I started moving into becoming the chair of that committee, she did so much to help me understand the process of editing a resolution and how to do that stuff. And it was just so amazing having her in those committee meetings. And I've got to say, the quality of our meetings definitely went downhill when Wynn resigned from that committee.
This is Vita. I just wanted to say that I'm so happy this is being recorded because I'm going to give this to her family.
This is Steve, and I frankly, unfortunately, never really got to know Winifred well. I admired her from afar through mainly her work in the Blind Californian, and also just that she was a tireless Braille advocate, and I'm very passionate about Braille myself. And back in the early 2000s, when there was talk of UEB, we had heard about this other system called NUBS, the Nemeth Unified Braille System, and very little was known about it, and other than the fact that Abraham Nemeth had invented it. And I heard, maybe through the Blind Californian, I frankly can't remember where, that there was this booklet that would explain NUBS, and so I somehow got my hands on a copy of it, and what it was Winifred just tirelessly, painstakingly, very... just with a lot of attention to detail, explained the system, gave examples of it, and what's that? Yeah, succinctly, and I just always have to be grateful for that, and I'm sorry I never got a chance to thank her for that, because even though NUBS was not ultimately chosen as the way forward for Braille in the United States, she made an awful lot of us think.
Wynn and Connie had a deal. There were books that she couldn't get at the library up there, so she'd call Connie up. Connie would send them down to her, and then when she got done with them, she'd send them back to Connie so she could read them.
This is Christy. I remember when, and I love to hear her talk. She reminded me of Jessica, you know, our Angela Lansbury, kind of her voice, kind of in the way she, you know, expressed herself. And I just thought she was so funny and so cute. But I remember when she experienced the earthquake, and she talked about how the earthquake affected her and how, you know, there was glass all over the place, and you know, it was really a tough time because her house sustained a lot of damage, and it was very scary. And I just remember her talking about that. But I think, you know, she was so knowledgeable about everything, and just one of the cutest, sweetest, wonderful women in my life.
Hi, this is Donna. Oh God, I know. I heard that back there. Richard Harmon and Wynn Downing both had one thing in common. When Mitch and I shared that we were getting together, they both said at different times to me, "Oh, you're going to have your hands full." are you ready for this? And Richard had just a neat smile on his face when he said that, and Wynn had a really nice smile on her face when she said that, and both of them were absolutely wonderful, welcoming people to me. In resolutions committee, her attention, Wynn's attention to detail, was something I loved. We're definitely kindred spirits in that way. And, you know, those of you who know about resolutions know that, you know, you kind of have to sometimes blow off steam so you don't kill each other, you know, at those, when you're wordsmithing those words, and, you know, periodically a time or two, someone would say, no, it should be must, and someone would say, no, it should be shall, and, you know, no, it should be may, and, you know, Wynn would be like, just make a decision. Be quiet. We've got to do this. I'm so tired. And, you know, she put up with us, but she was just an awesome force in our resolutions committee. And when she was no longer a part of it, I remember that first meeting, and she was sorely missed. She was just, you know, it was different. A final story about Wynn, very quick. With Braille, you know, she loved Braille. And she would call periodically, Mitch, you need to get involved. Why aren't you doing anything? You have to get involved. If you get involved, these atrocities, and she'd use all kinds of words, and they wouldn't be happening, and you need to stop it. Get involved and stop it. Mitch says, there's nothing I can do. It's already here. And she said, no, you have to get involved. And, you know, she would call regularly and do that. And I'd just hear Mitch saying, it's here. You have to accept it. And she would say, no, I'm not accepting it, and you shouldn't either. But and she never did, as different people said. I will definitely miss Wynn, and I will definitely miss Richard as well. Thank you.
Hello, this is Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker, and I just want to say that I believe that Wynn had a beautiful and genuine soul. I got to know her when she was the editor of the Blind Californian, and she was very committed and dedicated to producing a quality magazine for the organization. I was writing the Career Connections column, and I'd submit an article, and I'd wait for her call, and she'd call me and say, Kathy, we have a few things to talk about. And she would proceed to share in very logical and appropriate detail the points. And I would agree with her because she actually had very good points. And so I learned a lot from her, and I'm very appreciative of knowing her Wynn, and may she rest in peace.
I'm sorry, I never got to meet. She sounds like a wonderful person. I do have one more thing to add about Robert Greenwall, who recently passed, was a member of the CCB and the San Diego Braille Club. He died at 95, but he was one of the first Marines on Guadalcanal and Okinawa. And I would like to have a nice big approval of his dedication to the service.
Hello, this is Steve Fort, And I was elected president of BRLC in the spring of 2010. And Wynn was the editor of the Braille Writer. And when I wrote my first presidential statement, you know, and getting to know me and all that, she was so patient and with her corrections and I wasn't the most grammatical heavyweight around, but she knew that I really was trying to do my best. And once the article came out, I was congratulated so warmly by a number of people I really didn't expect to be. And I met her when I moved up from L.A., moved up north to San Francisco, and we were both members of the San Francisco chapter from 1982 to 1985. And it was just so good to have her on my side and to have such complete support. I really admire her and have a lot of affection for her, and I share her liberal Catholicism in a sense. And well, I'll miss her a lot. Thank you.
Those of you who may be interested, Nubs, as they call it, is not really dead. Chris Gray, he's in Missouri now, and I've forgotten the company he formed to try to keep it alive, despite the UEB being formerly the code of choice. But if you want to know about Nubs, get in touch with Chris Gray. He'll tell you how to join his company.
I regretfully have to see that we're behind and to stop. But I have had a request for quite a while for Jeff, President Jeff Tom, to say a few words.
So, three quick things. First, resolutions often had a foreign language problem. Wynn never understood a word Jean wrote. But she always said, "Jean, what does that mean? I can't comprehend it. That's total gibberish. But I support everything you wrote." So that's one thing. Of course, Jean didn't understand hers either.
Well, let me comment on that a little bit. Wynn also say, "Is it this necessary? This is too long. This is too long." And then she said, "I don't understand why you need a resolution so long." And then she would turn around and write an education resolution that sometimes was double the length of mine. Now, we both were trying to be Charlie Hodges. We never could quite achieve that. But Wynn would say, "Well, this is important, Jean. This is just as important, if not more. And we need to have this length in education. Yours doesn't need to have that great detail." Now, and she didn't say that meaningfully, but it just was, as Jeff said, it was just two different passionate people on two different subjects that equally were important. Okay, Jeff.
Second thing, Frank mentioned an oak. Well, there were two oaks that died recently. Wynn, in the world of advocacy for education, and probably the pioneer in the field of education, who many of you knew better than I, Phil Hatlin, who made California proud and really was the pioneer in the field of education for blind and low vision children. And it's really fitting that they died within a couple months of each other, because they were so passionate, and without them, the landscape of education wouldn't have been the same in many ways. So I think that really needs to be mentioned. And finally, if Wynn were up there, which she surely is, she's probably reading the agenda saying, I thought you were supposed to be talking about future conventions. Why are you talking about me?
I would like to see we take a moment out of our of the convention right now to think of these people that have passed. And so a moment of silence, please. Okay, thank you.